I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone, a show about sports and faith, how the two come together and lives being touched. Right now, discover how people in sports walk in faith with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on 1250 AM, The Fan. 'Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about
somebody who saved my soul. Welcome to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I am Mike McGivern. Week two, having this guy back. 3-year hiatus, and I got to be honest with you. Right about now, I'm thinking that wasn't such a bad time, man. Wasn't such a bad time. My co-host, what are you? You're not my special guest, I know that. My co-host is the head pastor at Brookside Baptist Church, Pastor Ken Keltner. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you, Mike. Good to be back. We're recording a phone interview today. Got my headset on, ready to go, and everything's great.
And we're a little delayed. Why is that?
Well, I don't know. I just went to pull this microphone down, because you always want me right in the microphone, and when I pulled it down, the whole thing fell apart.
Yeah, there it is.
Pastor, hey, I got it back together.
He's been back 2 weeks. The numbers last week were all-time low, and he's busting up the entire studio. That's Pastor Ken Keltner of Brookside Baptist Church. Hey, Pastor, a number of weeks ago, we had on, and I could tell you it was really odd. But we had on a guest a while back, and I asked him, hey, is there anybody that you think that we could have on as a guest? And he goes, I do. T.J. Benn is a guy that I talked to about in my testimony, and what a really great leader he was to me. And, you should probably, here's his phone number, you should give him a call. So I called him, and I said, hey, where are you at nowadays? He goes, I'm in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. I go, are you kidding me? Well, you should just come in studio because we're like 40 minutes away, and we laughed, and I had no idea because he's played baseball, here in the United States and in Australia. And then we started talking about his dad, and I said, any chance I could get Jim Bennett on? He goes, yeah, I'll give you his number. Just give him a call. And I figured this would be the week, Pastor, and I'll tell you why. Friday night, this coming Friday, I'm heading out to the Doc Hounds game, right? August 5th. And not only my brother Tim is flying in from Florida and he's going to spend some family time, but he's 67 years old. He's already got 3 games lined up, hardball games, 1 here at the Rock and 2 down in Chicago. So he's bringing his catching gear. He's a freak with this stuff. So when I had the general manager for the Doc Hounds in studio, Trish Raspberry was in studio with me a couple weeks ago. So I reached out to her and I said, hey, my brother's coming in. My wife and I and my brother Tim would like to come out to the game on the 5th. Is that okay? And she said, great. I go, that's the easy part. Here's the tough part. He's got this bucket list, and to throw the first pitch at a professional baseball game would be huge for him. She goes, done. Let's do it. So my brother Tim from Tarpon Springs, Florida, be throwing out the first pitch. Then my brother's on the website, and like Dave Nielsen's like his all-time favorite catcher in baseball history. He's like, hey, can you set it up that I throw it to Nielsen? I go, dude, Trish gave us the free tickets. You're throwing out the first pitch, and now you want me to set it up. I go, no, I don't know who you're going to throw to. Don't hit the mascot. That's all I'm saying. Don't hit the mascot. Our special guest for the entire hour, he's the manager of the Lake Country Dock Hounds. He is Jim Bennett. Jim, how you been?
I've been good, man. Just, you know, doing our thing, playing games every day, getting on the bus and hanging out at the park.
Man, first-year team, and when we had Trish Raspberry, and she said, look, it was right down to the wire, right? A couple hours before game time, we're still trying to figure some stuff out, but we are now in a really good groove, really happy with the way things are going. Not only on the field, but off the field, and it's really hard in this level to be able to get a competitive team together the first year. But boy, she goes, I'm excited about what Jim is doing and the manage and all of the coaches and the players are playing well. We don't have as many wins as we hoped, but we certainly will. The second half of the year should be pretty good for us.
Well, that sounds good. I like it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Hey, and absolutely. That's think about it. That's your that's the general manager. So if that's what she's saying, that make you feel pretty good. Hey, Jim, when they reached out to you to say, hey, do you have any interest in coming being the manager of the Lake Country Dock Hounds? Have you been to Wisconsin in the past?
I have. I actually, my first year in the minor league, my second year in the minor leagues, I played in Wausau, Wisconsin.
There you go.
So I went to the Midwest League. I wouldn't say I've spent a lot of time in Wisconsin, but a little bit of time. But when they brought me out and we met up in Oconomowoc, I'll tell you what, I was like, this is a nice place. This is great. So,
hey,
it was a good start.
How long did it get you to you be able to pronounce Oconomowoc the correct way? Because you hit it on the button there, Jim.
No, I screwed it up when I first started. I was meeting with some of the ownership, and I'm dropping Oconomowoc on them, and they said, you know what, just call it Lake Country. You'll be fine.
Lake Country. A lot easier than Oconomowoc, that's for sure. Pastor?
Yeah, Jim, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Anaheim, California, about a mile from Disneyland.
Okay.
Yeah, Oconomowoc's a lot like that area. it's like identical.
There you go, man.
Hey, talk about your upbringing. Were you a baseball guy all the way through? Were you a multi-sport athlete in grade school, high school?
I played baseball, football, basketball. Baseball was definitely, you know, that's my gig. I'm a baseball junkie from day one. My dad was a minor league baseball player, so it's kind of in the family. Baseball was definitely most of my time spent.
Jim, what position did you play?
I was a pitcher.
Yeah, don't bring that junk this way, just so you know.
You could probably throw it right by Mike even now, underhanded.
I'll get in the batter's box. You better bring a lot of balls out to the mound, young man, because I'm gonna go deep.
I'm gonna turn on a couple of these,
and you're gonna be ashamed. I'll tell you that. You know what? Faith in the Zone, we're not supposed to lie on this show. I am totally lying. If I even hit one out of the infield, I'd be so happy. Hey, when you started, so did you play into college as well?
Yeah, I went to college. So I went to a junior college right by where I grew up. And then I went to a place called Chapman University and went undrafted. Made a lot of phone calls, sent a lot of mail, not emails, but mail, trying to get a job. And eventually I got a job, and that's a story in itself. But went to college and then got a chance to play a little bit of pro ball.
Man, you've been coaching for quite a while, right? 1992, it looks like. And not only you've been coaching here, but you've been coaching in Australia as well. And so this game of baseball has brought you all over the country and then some, right?
It has. You know, I've, the the saying that I like to use, you know, if you can't play, coach. So I started coaching at a young age, you know, and it's just been it. I love being with a group of young men. I love being around them and just being able to love on them. So and I love baseball. So it's a pretty good gig for me. And yeah, I've been to a lot of places.
Hey, Jim, the game of baseball has changed, I think, a lot over the years. You know, the idea, at least in Major League Baseball, the idea of small ball is gone. You know, you get a guy. The thing that shocks me, and maybe you can walk me off the ledge, extra innings, it's the bottom of the 10th. You start with a guy in second base, and nobody bunts him to third. And that is so, like, I almost have to turn the TV off. Maybe I'm old school, but the idea of getting a guy on third base with less than two outs always used to be the idea, okay, then all we need is a fly ball, a pass ball, you know, anything, right? Just about anything to get him home. You hit one over to the right side on the ground, you get a chance to score him. And nobody does that anymore, and it's all analytics, I believe. Does that drive you nuts?
Yes.
Yes.
Now say
mic drop.
Obviously, the game has changed, and you know I don't blame the players for this. The players are doing what is going to get them to the big leagues. So I mean, a lot of these guys can't bunt. They don't bunt. So why would you put a guy in a situation that you know he's not going to be successful in that? But obviously, the analytics, I guess, are telling them that's not the way to go. Now, we had an extra inning game the other day, and we won, and we bunted in the 10th and the 11th inning. So, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, do they just not practice that anymore? Because I remember, you know, they'd show, you know, spring training. Guys are out there bunting and yeah.
Well, when you say practice, there's a difference between practice and practice. Yeah. You know, they might take – when you're taking batting practice, oh, okay, lay down the first two, you know, is that practicing at all? I don't know how much work is put into that, but, you know, if you're wanting them to execute something other than bunting, that's what they're going to work on. But, so
what's weird to me is Craig Counsell was the ultimate small ball player. Right, he was the guy that could bunt, could go the other way, could hit the fly ball, the sacrifice, you know, all of that, and it gets to the bottom of the 10th, and I'm telling my wife is like, enough, quit watching it if it frustrates you so much, because it's like, just bunt him over, and then let's get the guy in from third and go home and be done with this thing. So did you think that all of the analytics, is that good for the game, or do you think there's some bad parts of it, right?
It's both. It's absolutely both. I mean, there's a place for some of it. And then I look at it, and I'm like, we're going too far. You know, we're forgetting about just playing the game. Having a feel. You can't say things like that anymore. Oh, he's got a, you know, he understands the game. He knows the game. He's got feel. You can't put those things on paper. So if you can't put it on paper, you can't back it up. And if you can't back it up, then you're just not smart if you make a bad decision. So it's tough. It's tough.
How many times have you watched the movie Moneyball, by the way?
You know, I watched it twice.
you sound so excited. That's one of my wife's favorite movies, Moneyball and Miracle. And
you know,
she watches them both.
I'm the wrong guy to talk about Moneyball. But I was with the Oakland A's in 2000. So I went and saw the movie. Obviously, being part of the A's organization and. So I'm looking at from, hey, I was here, you know, I'm around this, and you know, there's Hollywood. I have a hard time with true stories because there's a lot of half truths.
Right, right.
And so when there's half truths, to me, a half truth is almost worse than a lie. A lie, you can just go, they're lying, you know. But a half truth, it sounds good. It sounds too good. And it's too close to it. So there were a lot of things in the movie that I was like, this didn't happen this way. And so it bothered me. And everybody else, oh, that's a great movie, this and that. So I went back and I watched it just as a, so somebody to watch the movie and enjoy the movie, and I thought it was a great movie. It was good.
You know, when I'm walking in the grocery store, a lot of people come up to me and say, man, you look like that guy who played the general manager for the A's in that movie Moneyball. Now, okay. Brad Pitt. Now, that's a half truth. In fact, that's a total lie. So let's get straight.
That didn't take me long to figure that one out.
Let's figure out what a half truth and a total lie is. That would be a total lie. He is Jim Bennett.
Well, I need to walk away from that.
Yeah. Yes, he is. Maybe the other guy, the stat guy. I look more like the stat guy than I do Brad Pitt. He is Jim Bennett, manager of the Lake Country Dachshunds. Alongside Pastor Ken Keltner, who's the head pastor at Brookside Baptist Church, this is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
More now of Faith in the Zone, discovering people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Back with host Mike McGivern.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And Pastor Ken Keltner on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church. You want to come out and watch Pastor? Come out, watch him. Come out, watch him preach. Come on out to the early service. Man, I am out parking cars. Very worried about Edna, by the way.
Yep.
Praying for Edna. One of my girlfriends that 90, I parked
97
her.
97 years old.
And she's my favorite. I'm just telling you. And she's... had some health issues here this week, and Edna, if you're listening, we are praying for you, honey. We are totally praying for you, and I hope to see you back at Brookside Baptist Church really quick. Our special guest, he is the manager of the Lake Country Dachshunds. If you've not gone out and seen this team and seen this new stadium out in Oconomowoc, I would highly recommend you do that. They're part of the American Association. It's really good baseball. And you get a chance to not only, you know, see Jim Bennett manage, but his son TJ play. Hey, how is that going, by the way? Before we ask for your testimony, I know that Pastor coached his sons. I coached his sons as well. And I coached my own son. And there was some difficult things, but that was just in grade school and high school. You know, TJ is now a grown man and married and has a little one. And the idea of and being able to manage your son, has that been a nice, easy transition for you guys?
Yeah. I mean, I managed him when he was, you know, playing club ball when he was 10 years old. And we've always had a close relationship. I've been beyond fortunate that he's always trusted dad, which I know a lot of great dads that don't have the same result as that. So that's more about the kid and their personality. But he bought into me early on, and so there's always been that trust relationship between the two of us, and it's really been easy. A lot of people, you know, think that might be a hard situation, but it's been really good. It's been good.
Oh, that's good. I'm happy with that. Hey, Jim, the second segment on Faith in the Zone, and Pastor Ken used to always say it in the night when he was not able to come in studio, I continued it, but it really is a favorite segment of people that listen to Faith in the Zone. If we can ask for your testimony, we'd appreciate that.
Absolutely. Sure. You want me to get going on it right now?
Yeah. When did it start? Yeah. And let's get it going.
When did that journey begin with Lord Jesus?
Hey, and don't start with any curveballs. We want the fastball, man. We want you to come out of the block with it.
So I got invited to go to a junior high camp. So I was in seventh grade. And that summer camp, we went up to Big Bear up in the mountains. And that was where, you know, they say, hey, anybody here want to give your life to Jesus? And it still gives me, I've just got the chills right now because just I'm silly that I can remember that far back. And I can't remember yesterday, but it was a no-brainer. I'm like, I got to go. I got to do this. This is real. So at that camp, that's where I gave my life to Jesus, and that's where I said yes. So in junior high, you know, I'm trying to learn. I'm reading the Bible and trying to learn all this stuff, and it was somewhat new to me. I wouldn't say real new. We, you know, I grew up in a family that, you know, believes in God. I don't know how anything more than that. If it was, you know, so I didn't know we were, what do you call it, priesters? You know, you go to,
oh yeah, Christmas and Easter.
We'd do that, and you know, I grew up in a good, loving family. You know, this whole living for Jesus was a little different, a lot different. So I wasn't real good at it, and you know, I'm still working on it. But so in high school, I was definitely very involved in my high school group at church. I was also very involved in hanging out with all my friends outside of the church and kind of doing the whole living two sides of this thing. Throughout high school, and then my senior year of high school, I saw this girl, and she went to another school at our church. We went to a very big youth group, and I saw her. I'm like, there's something about her. I mean, not only is she hot, she's just, you know, she's not just out there trying to show herself off and to look great, and she was, you know, very conservative. And but I'm looking at her going, that looks just more like Jesus to me. I mean, just this solid Christian girl. I'm like, I want to be around her. So I did everything possible to be around her. Finally was able to ask her out on a date. And so that would have been 1983. And so what is that, 40 years? Later, we've been married for over 30 years now, and she's been by far the biggest person in my life that has brought me closer to Jesus. So obviously thankful for her, thankful for who she is in my life. But that was a great start in my journey of really being committed to saying that this is who I want to be.
Amen to that. Yeah. We were talking to Jim Bennett, manager of the Lake Country Dockhounds. Pastor, I always see you kind of perk up when somebody says, look, this happened at a camp when I was in seventh grade, those youth camps that you spent so much time of your career and life in and around kids that age, trying to talk to them about accepting Jesus as their personal savior. And so anytime we have somebody like Jim that went to a camp, I just see that kind of like spark in your eye, like, man, These things are just so, so helpful.
Yeah, well, a couple of things that got the, you know, got me excited, you know, Jim, was number one, yeah, going to camp. Our teens right now are at camp, and I was a youth pastor for 20 years, and I'd get on my hands and knees and beg kids to go to camp because there needs to be that starting place, you know, where they can get away and just, you know, have a great time, have a lot of fun, but then just spend some time hearing the word preached and taught to them. And you find so many folks that if you ask, hey, how many of you came to the Lord, you know, under the age of 15? I mean, it's incredible the number of hands that will go up. And the more that age number goes up, the less the hands, because it seems like the harder people get. I was just sharing with our folks last night in our Bible study, you know, that no one is born an atheist. You know, they're educated to be an atheist. And you see these small young kids come up and they have a passion and love for the Lord. And the other thing that excited me was it just seems like there's a point in time in your life that you remember you put your faith and trust in the Lord. And, you know, so often people are like, well, I've always just believed in God. But no, there's that point in time. And I thought that was when you said, man, I can remember like that like it was yesterday, but I can't remember what happened yesterday.
Yeah, that's.
And that's how it goes. And then to meet your future wife, and she was a godly young lady, and she's the one who was really because if you're going to lead her, you got to be on higher ground. And so that really moves any man to say, hey, I got to know the truth, and I got to do a better job of knowing God's word.
Hey Jim, if I can ask, you know, this career that you've chosen, which is baseball, on Faith in the Zone, when we have guys in football or basketball or other sports, it's not similar to baseball because you guys go away you're on the road for 7, 8, 9, 10 days sometimes, and the amount of just you know, wicked stuff you could get involved in, you know, the temptation is so real when you're in baseball. How hard was that, especially early on in your career?
That's not easy. I mean, there's a reason why, you know, you look around and you see a lot of marriages fail, and obviously a lot of them fail outside of baseball. But if you look in our sport, it's a tough gig, man. I mean, you're out on your own. You go on your road trips. Your wife's not coming with you all the time. And, you know, it ultimately, for me, it came down to we've got to be communicating. We've got to be honest. We've got to be real. And we got to keep our spouses as our best friends, because when you're not spending as much time with them on the road and you're spending time with, you know, away and with other people, it's easy for anybody. I don't care. I don't care how committed to Jesus you are or whatever, man. There's a lot of ugliness out there, and there's a lot of ugliness attracted to athletes. It's a tough gig, man. You got to stay locked in and communicate with your wife.
That's a great point, Jim. And the other aspect of that too is, you know, if you're content with your wife, with your spouse, I mean, that's of utmost importance, because, you know, if you're discontent, you could have 24/7 accountability and you're going to still figure a way to crawl through the fence or under the hedge, you know, to go to, sure, to see someone else. But when you're content, I'm not saying accountability isn't something we should have, but man, when a man is content with the one that God's given to him and loves her, you know, he possibly could have no accountability, and he's not looking to crawl under the fence or go through the hedge, you know, to the
right
neighbor or whatever. And so that is a great testimony as you shared there, because, you know, the one command God gave to men is that we're to love our wives. It's interesting. It's just natural for a woman to love. You don't really see the command. You see older women teach the younger women to love your husbands, but you don't really see that out-and-out command like you do for a man. And yet the women are to respect their husbands, and that's a huge huge issue. Jesus kind of nailed it down Or the Apostle Paul there in Ephesians nailed it down. Husbands, love your wives, and wives, respect your husbands. I mean, that's really that in a capsule. So I agree. What a temptation for these guys, and what a testimony and a platform that you live a life that is worthy and honoring and glorifying to the Lord.
Always trying, man. Always trying to get better. That's all we can do, right? Just keep moving forward. And go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, the Bible says a man falls seven times, the just man falls seven times, and he gets back up, you know. And because we're believers doesn't mean we don't have a temptation to sin and that we don't sin. But we have the wonderful promise that if we confess that sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us.
No doubt. Hey, Jim, quick one last question. When you interviewed for like the .coms or any of the jobs you've had, do you bring up your faith? Are you able to say, listen, this is kind of guy that I am, and I'm wondering how open some of the teams that you've managed or have been a coach on have allowed you to you know, share your testimony or share your faith in the locker room?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't necessarily bring that up. You know, I'm the one getting interviewed. So, I mean, I share who I am, how I do things. But that plays right along with my faith. So,
right.
I mean, I'm a big believer in that, you know, the way you treat people over time, you earn things. And as far, and when I say that, I feel like I have to go out and I want people to see Jesus in me. I don't need to tell them, you know, I believe in Jesus. I do this and that. If I get to know them, now I got a relationship with them. And if I'm being the person that I truly believe Jesus wants me to be, you know, I believe they're going to see Jesus in me, and then that conversation can happen. But, you know, everybody has their different strengths and how they approach things. But for me, there's really no reason that I have to come in and say, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I just don't see that as something that needs to be a conversation. And once you build a relationship with somebody, hopefully that's what they see. And if they're not seeing that in me, shoot, I hope I didn't tell them I was, because now I'm not helping the kingdom, man, you know?
That's so, right.
That's 100%.
That's my approach. You know, love on people, and, you know, it's...
Well...
I guess I'm pretty simple when it comes to that. Just love on others, man.
Hey, I can tell you this, that I always want to know my kids were like when they couldn't smell my cologne, right? When I'm not in the car with them, I'm not in the room with them. And when we had Riley Unroe on, and he talked in his testimony about your son and how mm-hmm. important he was in his walk, and his testimony was, look, I was struggling. I was really in a place in my life that it was dark. And this is the guy that really helped me through. I just want you to know that you don't have to worry so much about him not smelling your cologne. He's doing just fine. Just fine.
I'll tell you what, when it comes to TJ, I mean, and I say this all the time, I'm like, I want to be more like TJ when I grow up. I'll tell you what, you have no idea how thankful I am for who he is as a man, and man, what a blessing.
I say that about Pastor Ken. I wish he was more like his boys, but, you know, I don't know if that's the same thing. We're going to get to a break. Our special guest is Jim Bennett, manager of the Lake Country .coms. Again, I'm going to be out there this coming Friday, August 5th. I'm going to be at the game, and, man, my brother Tim's throwing out the first pitch. If he hits what somebody in the audience, in the crowd, that's not on me. I'm just telling you. I asked him, hey, Jim, by the way, like I said, he's 67 and still catching. I said, can you throw these guys out? He goes, yeah, I could one hop and get these jokers. And he laughs, and, yeah, it's really fun. We're going
to
get
him to the test.
Yeah, well, I told him, you know, if Nielsen wants you, you know, to get him in and three, you know, he can catch for an inning. He's like, no, I'm not doing that. Again, Jim Bennett, manager of the LakeCountry.com, is my co-host, Pastor Ken Keltner, Brookside Baptist Church. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone, an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind. Here are your hosts, Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Kellner, only on 1250 AM, The Fan.
I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern. He's Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church. Pastor, I haven't had anybody in the studio to like goof around and make fun of.
It's been great being back with you, Mike.
Ooh, man.
It just feels like old times.
You know what? And I just pull up my Rolodex, and I've got all these ones I want to, you know, make fun and rip.
The one-liners on me.
Yeah, the one-liners on you. So thank you for that. And, you know, I tell people all the time, and you kind of cringe, but the three roles in my life, you're my friend, you were a parent of guys I used to coach, and you're my pastor. Right now, you're my friend. Because I wouldn't make fun of my head pastor. I wouldn't do that. But as my friend, I get to be able to do that. Our special guest is Jim Bennett, manager of the LakeCountry.com. Hey, Jim, during the break, and you teed this up really nicely for me because I had that on my list to talk about. You know, being in baseball for as long as you have, you guys, it's not like they give you Sundays off. But Baseball Chapel, I think, has done wonders for a number of men involved in baseball all over the country. Baseball Chapel is still going on, and do you guys take advantage of that?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have Baseball Chapel. I was looking around for a guy in Oconomowoc and found a great pastor that TJ had connected with. So that was a really smooth transition, you know. So he runs a Baseball Chapel for our team. Before the games on Sundays, he also does it for the other team, the visiting team, and the umpires. So everybody has an opportunity. Obviously in baseball, you don't really always have a chance to go to church if you are a churchgoer. So it's great. Our guy, you know, every once in a while, I'll say, come put a uniform and sit in the dugout, hang out with us, bring a little Jesus in the dugout. That's been fun, and he'll connect with the guys that want to connect with him, and he's there for them other than just on Sunday. So it's a really good setup that Baseball Chapel has.
You know, Jim, we had EJ Ellis on, and he was talking about Baseball Chapels, and I remember watching a San Francisco Giants game, and Buster Posey was at the plate. You know, I told my wife, I go, man, there's just something about that Buster Posey. I just believe that guy's a believer. And AJ Ellis told us, he said, yeah, he goes, we'd go to, you know, chapel together, Baseball Chapel together for the game. He said, one night I'm catching Clayton Kershaw, and Buster gets in the, you know, in the box, and I said, hey, Buster, what'd you think about Romans 6 and that study today? And he said that Buster stepped out of the box, and he said, AJ, I'd love to talk to you about Romans 6, but right now I'm getting ready to face one of the best baseball pitchers, you know, in America. So I need to just wait on that before we get to Romans 6. I need to step in the box here and try to get a hit.
Man, that's Christians talking smack right there. That's how Christians talk smack on the baseball field, for sure. Hey, Jim, when you guys are playing at home on Sunday and you're doing Baseball Chapel, I love the fact that you can invite the other team, the other team manager, and any of the players. How is the response normally pretty strong with that?
It usually is. You know, we have a variety of different guys on the team, Christians, not Christians, you name it, which is great. So as far as people showing up for chapel, gosh, I would say, I think more than half our team shows up for chapel. You know, some guys are just curious what it's all about, and other guys are, I'm missing church and I want to be at church.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just an opportunity for somebody who wants that ultimately. You know, it's not anything where, you know, I have a total respect for guys who believe differently. So it's not anything we push on anybody. We just offer it. And if somebody wants to be a part of it, you know, that's awesome.
Pastor, you know, if I'm in the batter's box and on a Saturday night game and umpire calls a third strike that I'm not sure it's a strike, I might invite him to chapel the next day. Hey, you know what? Instead of yelling, I'd say, hey, listen, I'm not going to yell at that call. It was horrible. But maybe you should come to baseball chapel tomorrow when we got this thing going. Hey, guys, we're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, we're gonna finish with Jim Bennett, and we're going to ask him the question that we always ask at this point, and that is if all the uniforms you've ever put on, all of them, from the time you were playing Little League Baseball or playing basketball or football until managing right now with the Lake Country Dachshunds and everything in between, if you could pick one uniform out, what uniform would you pick so you could play one more time or manage one more time with that team? What uniform is it, and who do you play against, and why? And we'll ask Jim Bennett that on the other side. Again, he's the manager of the Lake Country Dachshunds. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Back to Faith in the Zone, a journey on how people in sports walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Here are hosts Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner, only on 1250 AM, The Fan. Because I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about
somebody who saved my soul. Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Hi, Mike McGivern. It's refreshing, isn't it, Mike?
I'm not sure the word is refreshing, but you know what? It could be. Pastor Ken Keltner, Brookside Baptist Church, our special guest, man, and I cannot wait to meet him in person on Friday. He is Jim Bennett, manager of the Lake Country Dachshunds. Hey, Jim, so this question was a throwaway question 2 years ago, and it just is really interesting to me and to a lot of listeners. Of all the uniforms you've ever put on in your entire life, you put them in a closet, you get to pick one out. What uniform is it? Who for what team, and who do you play against and why? What uniform do you take?
So I've got to ask you, as far as do a lot of guys say I can't come up with one?
Yes.
Or what do they? Because so I've got a coaching one and a playing one.
Perfect. We'll take them both.
So as far as playing, and this is this total selfish on my part because, you know, I was a minor league player for a couple of years, and I at this point as a coach, I know my ability, so I know I wasn't that good. But I take myself back to high school, Garden Grove High School. I was the man. I was the guy, you know. I never bring out my yearbook. So and if I talked about it, I'd get buried by enough baseball people out there. You don't bring up your old yearbook when you're talking about baseball. But I would go back to high school. I would be playing La Quinta High School. That was our rival. I was the first baseman. I have to go back to high school to say, wow, I had some success. And, man, that would be so much fun to go out there and swing the bat against our rival back in high school. I mean, we were locked in. You know, I know the theme song walking out there, you know, got the eye of the tiger. It's all right there, man. And so I would 100% go back to high school and relive my glory days back when I was, you know, 16, 17 years old.
How'd you guys do against your rival? Did you guys beat him most of the time?
Yeah, we did. We did.
Yeah,
things went well. Things went well for us. So that would just be a blast to be able to relive those moments. And then as far as coaching, you know, there's a big part of me. We had when I was doing our club teams, when TJ was a kid for the East Valley Bulldogs, I mean, to think about, you know, having the kids back, and because these guys still talk about it and they're 30 years old. We had some great times. So, I'd like to say the East Valley Bulldogs, but as far as one game, one time, I've got to go to Australia and the first championship, you know, that we had there, being able to be with TJ in a professional atmosphere and we won the championship, the Claxton Shield 4 years in a row there. And to go back to that first game of how much fun that was, you know, just jumping up and down together, having fun. together in that moment of just, wow, can you believe that we're sitting here in Australia and we just are the champs of the whole country and in Brisbane. And so that was an absolute blast that I would love to. We may relive this moment this winter, hopefully, because we'll both be back there.
Man, with the Brisbane Bandits. Hey, does David Nielsen, he's the manager of that team? And then, So you guys switch roles a little bit.
We flip roles. Yeah, absolutely. We flip roles. You know, he's the manager of the national team, too, and I'm his pitching coach for the national team in Australia. So, we definitely flip roles. He's loving this role right now. He's like, you do all the hard stuff. So he's enjoying this, and I'll get it. Let him do all that stuff when we go back to Australia and all. And we always do. It's a joke with us. It's like, not my job. It's your job. Good luck to you. You know, when things are going rough. So,
hey Jim, are there some of the guys over there in Australia that are able to come over and either play minor league or make it up into the majors here?
Absolutely. No, we've got guys over there. You know, the hard part is when they come over early, you know, sometimes they come over at 17, 18, 19 years old, and they're just not there yet, and they don't get the opportunity that they get. And so a lot of these guys end up not staying in the minor leagues and going back to Australia. Well, 6 years later, these guys can go play Double-A, Triple-A. Some of them could have got to the big leagues, but they never had their shot. So you don't even know who some of them are. But, you know, we've got plenty of guys now that are playing in the minor leagues over there, and obviously Liam Hendricks over there. But
Jim, last question: when David Nielsen talks about his days with the Brewers, I hope he remembers those fondly, because boy, he was really loved here.
You know, it was fun just to be able to see him and his whole family. Most of his family come back to this area, and for his kids to get to see the area where, you know, he played in Milwaukee. So he definitely talks fondly of it. He doesn't talk too much about himself. He's not that guy, which I love about him. But when I ask him questions, you know, he'll share a lot of his stuff. But my goal is to get him to catch your brother. I'll try to get him to catch that first.
If my brother short hops it, he might want to put the shin guards on. My brother, he's excited. He's going to throw it well. I'm going to come on the field and videotape it just in case he does hit the mascot. So I've got something to hold over his head for his entire life. He is Jim Bennett, the manager of the Lake Country Dock Hounds, and they are in good hands. With him managing, and David on his staff, and TJ on that team. And if you have not gone to a Dock Hounds game, month of August, come on out. I'd love to have people join me on Friday, August 5th, to see the Dock Hounds play. Jim, I look forward to meeting you in person. Thanks for your time.
I appreciate you guys having me. This was fun.
You bet. Thank you, Pastor. It's always good to see you, brother.
Yeah, well, I like it, Mike. It's great to be back with you.
It is good to see you as well, and thank you. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
You've been listening to Faith in the Zone with hosts Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. You can hear Faith in the Zone every Sunday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. To find past shows, exclusive podcasts, or to contribute with an inside tip on a guest, simply go to faithinthezone.com. Faith in the Zone is an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Join us again next Sunday for Faith in the Zone, right here on 1250 AM, The Fan. 'Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.